Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's the Final Fantasy Podcast here on Post Show Recaps, currently covering and about to conclude our coverage of Final Fantasy II. I'm Josh Wickler, joined here by Brooklyn Zed. Didn't mean to dox you, Zed. I mean Dark Knight. It's the Dark Knight. So yeah. Sorry.
That's me, the Dark Knight, hanging out in a castle by myself. Just taking over from the Emperor.
Just doing stuff. Taking over from the Emperor. Yeah, that dastardly Dark Knight. We're gonna unmask that guy today. We're gonna beat the game. There's a lot still to talk about, but I think that we're gonna be able to beat the game today. Is my feeling on the matter as we are continuing our war path through the Final Fantasy series. Zed, as we are recording this, it's just one day after we recorded the most recent episode of the Final Fantasy podcast, during which we talked about all sorts of things, including Final Fantasy birthdays. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I have some news for you.
Breaking news?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So yesterday was October 4th, 2021. We're the jerks who neglected to wish a happy birthday to Final Fantasy VIII Teacher Supreme Quistis Treep.
Oh no, yesterday was her birthday.
October 4th. Ay, ay, ay.
I mean, she's kind of terrible.
How dare you? She still has a birthday. She's kind of terrible.
I mean, she is.
But she has a birthday.
Yeah.
We're
okay.
Just ignore it completely.
Happy birthday, God. Disgraced teacher. Treep. Hitting on your students.
Oh my God. I hope her students got her something nice.
Oh boy.
Yes. Quistis, congratulate. I don't know how old she is, though, because they don't tell us what year for Final Fantasy VIII. I'm going to just go ahead and assume 1988.
Okay.
Just a guess. Shot in the dark. 1988. Zed, how are you feeling as we are barreling towards the FF2 conclusion?
Yeah, just ripping through it like a cyclone.
Yeah, like a cyclone. Yeah. podcasting like cyclones over here.
Yeah. Good. I'm like ready to keep going, get through the rest of this game and see what's to come next.
Yeah. The bad news about getting close to the end of Final Fantasy II and closing it out is that then we're going to have to do Final Fantasy III.
Uh-huh.
But the good news is then we're that much closer to Final Fantasy IV, which I'm really psyched about.
Yeah.
So we're going to do it. We're going to get through this. We're going to talk about the rest of Final Fantasy II. Then we'll do some FF3 for the next podcast. But I don't know that we will break up Final Fantasy III into multiple parts. Then again, I'm still really early in it. I'm just not having the best time with it, but I would love to talk about it and, at least get into a little bit of that. But it doesn't seem to have like a story the same way that this one does. But we'll see. We'll see where we land.
Okay.
We'll see. I mean, it has a story. It's just of a totally different kind. And I may be, it's possible that I'm just being like a real cynic and that I need to like adjust my tude. We'll see. I'll report back once I get deeper into it. And I know, Zed, like you're waiting to play it. And the good news about having all this time in between now and next week, as far as the week to week podcast experience, but in the real time, we've got a lot of time, is that maybe, we will have like very different opinions on FF3 by the time we get there. For now, I am both excited and slightly sad to close out this unexpected delight, that is Final Fantasy II. And when we left off, Zed, we had retaken Castle Finn, so that's fantastic. Feels like the game should be over, except it's not.
Yeah. This game, I know we've said it's like Star Wars. It's also a little bit like Return of the King, the final Lord of the Rings film, in that it has an ending, and then it has another ending, and then it has another ending, and it just sort of keeps going for a while.
Yeah, it does. It has a bunch of like false finales. And so taking over the castle was one of them. And now that you've got the castle, like, you can explore it. There's so many hidden passageways. You can get spells. You can get like cool items. You can get all sorts of stuff. But the real big thing story-wise is that, like, everyone is concerned because Minwu, who was sent off to look for the Ultima Tome, has not reported back. Minwu has not been checking back in. Mm-hmm. And, like, immediately we're all having, like, Joseph PTSD. And like, oh, what did they do to Minwu? Oh, no. Not Minwu. Love Minwu. Don't do anything to Minwu.
Yeah. He's disappeared, and we keep coming back. We've made it like further and further out into the world and keep returning to make our reports. So what has happened to Minwu, our powerful white mage who was out on this mission but has not returned? We have to go. Now we have to go find him.
Yeah, we basically have to do Minwu's job, is sort of like, in case Minwu is not succeeding at the job that Minwu was assigned, we are now responsible for doing what it was that Minwu was going to do, which is to get that Ultima spell. Mm-hmm. And that is in Mysidia, and specifically in Mysidia Tower. And this is like a Heart of Magic type of place in the world of Final Fantasy II. Very quickly, aka immediately in Final Fantasy IV, you will come to meet a more, I believe, story-rich Mysidia. An essential location in the universe of Final Fantasy IV. And I was gobsmacked to see it pop up here in Final Fantasy II. Again, tip the wombat cap. It came here first. Got to acknowledge. So you're going to go off and do that. And there's something about in order to, like, we have to get masks.
Right.
We're going to need to get like two masks in order to like dig deep. A lot of fetch questy type stuff going down now, Zed.
Yeah, it's a bunch more like do this thing to unlock this thing to unlock this other thing that will eventually get you where you need to go to get through a dungeon to find what you're looking for.
Yeah.
That's going to happen a handful of times.
It's like even before we go to Mysidia, we need to get one of the masks, and one of the masks is like right here in the castle, right? Like mm-hmm. just here in Castle Finn. There's like a whole basement dungeon, which is hilarious. That like, yeah, this is our pristine castle. We're sitting on top of a bunch of monsters and terrible things in the floors below. But there's also a cool white mask that you could get.
Mm-hmm. And that involves, so you have to learn like a bunch of terms here. You've got to learn
really
Mysidia,
do hate this mechanic
you've
so got to
learn mask, you've got to learn this like secret phrase, Ekmetelos.
Ekmetelos. Is that an anagram for something, Zed?
I don't know.
Your smart brain real quick.
I mean, you could certainly, the word mask is, it's like secret mask or something. No, there's an L in there. I don't know. I'll have to think about it. But she's like, I don't know where the mask is, but there's one in here somewhere, and you need that phrase to get in there. Good luck. Go talk to Gordon.
Yeah.
And of course you also have to go talk to Paul. Paul, who knows everything.
Yeah, the treasure hunter. Love Paul.
Yes. Master Thief Paul.
Yeah. You ask him about the secret phrase, and he's gonna like give you like a when you tell him that, like, yeah, I'm looking for the mask, he's like, I don't care about the mask, but maybe try using that phrase in like in the throne room. And so if you go to the throne room and you say the term, a door opens, and that's what's gonna lead you down.
If you say it in the right place,
yeah,
you have to like go to the right single panel of wall in the correct corner of the room to find the secret chamber.
Classic. Classic. So you do that, go through a whole bunch of winding ways, and you find yourself in the secret passage that takes you down to the basement, where you have to do all sorts of fighty punchy kicky stuff to get the white mask, but eventually you get the white mask, and that's great. And now it's time to go to Mysidia, because with these masks are going to help like pave the way for you to get to where you need to go, which is going to be the Mysidia Tower. But there's going to be a lot of stuff that will mess with you on the way towards getting this stuff done. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, so we've gotten the white mask, but we still have to get the black mask, which I think is going to be in Mysidia Cave, which is separate from Mysidia Tower and separate from, like, oh, yeah, there's the tropical island, which is, like, also part of this whole
section is a lot. Like, you need to go to the tropical island, and, like, there is a cave in the tropical island. And is this where you're getting the crystal rod, or is this where you're getting... I think this is where you're getting the black mask is in. Yes, you're going to this tropical cave. And the tropical cave...
No, there's the island and the cave. They're separate places.
Oh, my God. God,
the island is a like tiny little dot in the ocean that you can't even really see on the map. And I had to use the walkthrough to be like, okay, go here and then just go down and just keep going down and hope for the best.
There's like a very complex way of navigating your way to the tropical island. And I believe that this is that place. I think that I had said this before, that there was like a dungeon in this game that's like, you sure you don't want to go this way? This way you can get more treasure. I was like, I'm fine. like I just ignored it because there was like all of these different ways you could backtrack, and I just didn't want to do it anymore because I hate the dungeons of this game very much. But like, yeah, you like have to like wind your way through Mysidia Island. You're gonna get the black mask eventually, and then you have to go to Mysidia Cave, and this is where you're trying to get the crystal rod. And in order to get the crystal rod, you have to have the black mask that you're going to put on, for whatever reason, a doppelganger. There is like a Furian doppelganger.
There's no explanation
here.
Of this.
None. I mean, it's an interesting concept. A main character facing effectively a mirror image of themselves, but it's not explored in any depth here.
No, you're just like walking around and there's a Furian like standing outside of a door that you need to go through. And I guess you're supposed to know that you should put the black mask on this doppelganger of Furian, and that's going to like get the doppelganger to disappear so that you can go into the room where the crystal rod is.
Yeah. So you put the black mask on the doppelganger, and it would have been cool to like have like a fight, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like some sort of fight here would have been good.
I think so, especially if it's just like one-on-one, like you versus yourself, if the doppelganger has like the same skills that your character has leveled up to have, that could be really interesting.
Something like that could be very interesting. I would love to see that explored at a certain point in time, but it's not done here for sure. And it would have been cool. You know, it would have been awesome. You have like the doppelganger that you have to fight here. What if they, what if it's Furion versus Furion, and this doppelganger Furion is as strong and as proficient in stuff as you are?
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. That would be horrible.
If it's like, it's customized to however your character has leveled up from the way that you've played the game. I think that would be super interesting.
Yeah. I would love that. That'd be really, really great. That doesn't happen. Nothing like that happens.
No, nothing happens. He just blinks out of existence.
You put a mask on and then he goes away. And then you dig deeper into this dungeon. And I hate the dungeons. there's all these like little secret passageways in here that you got to infiltrate. Like, you know, like little weaknesses in the walls.
Mm-hmm.
You can find a lot of cool magic in here. Yeah. There's a lot of enemies here that like absorb your HP. Whatever. For me, this is nothing. This is nothing, Zed. I'm just teleporting all these people out of existence, and it's totally fine. And like the worst part of the Mysidia portion of the game up to this point is that it's grindy. You know? It's
and
a
you've
lot
already
of, like,
done the grinding.
I've done the grinding. It's a lot of like point and click. It's like, hey, go to this place. Hey, go to that place. Hey, pick up this thing. Now pick up that thing. And so it's just like, there's not a lot of story. There's not a lot of momentum. Things aren't really happening. In Mysidia, there is like this little library that'll give you some context for things that are happening elsewhere in the story. I didn't jot down notes on any of that. I don't know if you did.
The library. Hmm.
Yeah, there's like a room that has a bunch of books with all this literature. Yeah. But I didn't really pay much attention to that. I don't know how to read. but things are going so smoothly And then suddenly you're like, all right, well, sweet. I guess I'll just roll up to the Mysidia Tower and nothing's going to be, oh my God, there's a giant sea monster.
This is also like so random. You're like trying to get up to the cave and then up to the tower. Yeah, and you get sucked into a whirlpool and you get swallowed like Pinocchio, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is very like Pinocchio level of Kingdom Hearts vibes, which is like, my least favorite part of the game.
is Geppetto the Cid of the Pinocchio films? Also, are there more than one Pinocchio film?
I think
also, is
just
this a trash
one.
Take?
I mean, Sid's not creative. It's more like Reeve is the Geppetto.
Yeah, and Kate Sith's Pinocchio.
Yeah,
that's
trying
great.
To be a real boy.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's good. Yeah, you get swallowed up by Leviathan, who is a recurring monster that you find throughout the Final Fantasy series. And this is not the only time that you're ever attacked at sea by Leviathan in a Final Fantasy game.
Sure.
And again, like, I'm just like, my world is shattering encountering this here. I'm like, what? And it's changing a lot for me, and I don't love it.
It's like you learned about these things through like cover bands, and yes. Now you're learning the original songs.
Yeah, and it's like heartbreaking. But you know what the thing is about that? Sometimes the covers are better than the original.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes. Not always, but sometimes. It does happen. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it?
Yeah, it happens.
I'm just struggling to think of an example off the top of my head, but you give me enough time, I could point to one or two.
Of a cover that's better than the original?
Yeah, I think so. Now, Zed, you get eaten by Leviathan, and you spend the next little portion of the game inside of Leviathan.
Yep.
And I very happily live in the world where Brooklyn Zed has my number. and that we text each other with great frequency. And sometimes that happens during a podcast.
Uh-huh.
And just now, I received a text from the legendary Brooklyn Zed with a screenshot of what it is like to be inside of Leviathan. And specifically... what it's like to walk through a door inside of Leviathan.
Am I wrong?
And Zed writes, the doors in Leviathan look a certain kind of way.
They're not doors.
I would like to propose a term for the doors inside of Leviathan.
Uh-huh.
Dorifices.
Oh, God. It's very accurate. Oh, no.
Dorifices.
I brought this upon myself, but oh man. Uh-huh.
Dorifices.
Yep, that's one word for him.
Guy speak Dorifice.
Oh goodness. Yeah. I bet he does. Not unlike speaking beaver in some ways.
Yeah, you spend the next bit inside of these, inside of Leviathan, going from Dorifice to Dorifice, to wind and weave your way through the hot bile, bodies of water inside of Leviathan, which is
yeah,
just, like,
it's
exceedingly
like in a,
gross.
It's like in, Magic School Bus or that episode of Rugrats where Chucky swallows a watermelon seed and so all the babies go inside to make sure that there's not watermelons growing in his stomach and you've got to move through like the esophagus and the intestines and all the various like valves along the way.
Is Chucky the Sid of the Rugrats universe?
That would be Tommy with his screwdriver.
Oh, sure.
Except
no,
Tommy's way better than Sid.
Tommy's clad. Tommy's got that big Furion energy.
Mm-hmm.
Big pro tag energy. My favorite thing about being inside of Leviathan, which is a great sentence, is that like a bunch of people have been swallowed up on their way to the Mysidia Tower by Leviathan.
They just live here now.
And they just live here now. They have like bookshelves, they've got beds, they've made tables and chairs.
So
like, well, this is our life now. What do you want? You know, we're here. We just watch out for the digestive fluids. Like, just don't step in those.
Keep an eye on high and low tide, and otherwise you're fine.
What are they eating?
Who knows?
None of bits of Leviathan? Are they like scraping off bits of Leviathan? Is that possible?
How did they build structures?
Yeah. How did this happen? How did any of this happen?
They're inside. I guess if you get swallowed whole with your ship, then maybe you have like, you know, ship wreckage.
Sure. Yeah.
Is Leviathan the edge of extinction of Final Fantasy II?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
You have just like a sail and like a little bit of ship wreckage to use for shelter.
Correct. Uh-huh. Correct. So that's fantastic. Inside of Leviathan, it's your three core party members. Layla, who's been with you for so long, is MIA. And like, given like the what's happened to the party members up to this point, you're like, okay, cool. So she's dead.
Yeah, sad.
That's fantastic. She's not, but your fears are not misguided.
I was bummed that she was missing.
Missing. Instead, you have a space open to pick up your boy, the Dragoon, Ricard.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm shook. First Dragoon in the Final Fantasy series.
Here he is.
I love a Dragoon. Sucker for a Dragoon. And Ricard's like, oh, hey, what's up? And you're like, whoa, are you a Dragoon? He's like, yeah, I am. And you're like, oh, wow, you're not all dead. And he's like, excuse me? And you're like, yeah, all the Dragoons and the Wyverns, they're all dead. And Ricard is like, huh. Well, that's horrible news, and I don't believe you. But he sees how strong you are.
Way stronger than him.
Yeah, for sure. For me, Ricard was like, I think I said this before, was like the strongest like additional party member that I came across, but still so much weaker than everybody else. Mm-hmm. And anytime he died, I just let him stay that way.
Yeah, they're really like whoever is your fourth party member
always
for the longest time is always just sort of a liability. And like the only benefit to trying to keep them alive in a fight is so that they get the, because I don't think it counts towards leveling up their various stats if they're dead when the fight ends.
Yeah.
But
so Ricard is like, you all seem strong and maybe strong enough to like get us out of Leviathan. So let's team up. Let's join forces. Let's do this together. So Ricard joins your party. Is going to be a part of the crew now. And alongside Ricard, you are able to like get into battle against basically like a ringworm, right? Mm-hmm. Like gross. Leviathan has like this bad case of ringworm and you have to fight it. And it's like blocking your path to a new boat that will get you out of
to
Leviathan.
A ship to get out of Leviathan. Because of course...
So you do that, and now you're free. And Ricard's like, okay, I'll just hang out with you. And so now Ricard is part of the party. And now you're free from Leviathan, and you are permitted to keep sailing towards the Tower of Mysidia, which is just right there. One of the things that is also hilarious about all of this is that inside of Leviathan, I think there are also still all of, like, those doors, right? Like, do we still have, like, dungeon doors? So ridiculous. Absolutely stupid. The Tower of Mysidia, like, I don't know how much there is to say other than, like, you keep, like, climbing the Tower of Mysidia and there's all these giants that want to fight you.
Mm-hmm.
The fire giant, ice giant, and thunder giant. And they're, like, pretty, like, they pack a significant punch.
Yeah, it takes a little bit to actually defeat them. Unlike
it doesn't
a lot of
if
the
you
things.
Teleport them out of existence.
Okay, well... Some of us didn't.
It's not so hard if you just teleport them out of existence.
Yeah, just banish them
from the land.
Yeah. But it's 10 floors, this tower. So it takes a long time.
It's a chunky dungeon. Mm-hmm. It is a beefcake of a dungeon. And it ends with like a major bummer that like you're going all the way through this just so that you can get Ultima. This magic spell, because everyone thinks that you really need that in order to defeat the Emperor. And do you really?
No.
Do you? and this is where Minwu's been this whole time. Minwu, who's the rare exception to the rule, didn't get eaten by Leviathan or got eaten by Leviathan. And Ricardo's like, you don't seem strong enough. Minwu's like, watch me. Hold my
just,
elixir.
Like, peaced out by himself.
Yeah, hold my elixir. and just went in and just like went into the tower. But poor Minwoo is like, yeah, I'm just gonna break this barrier, but I'm gonna die doing it.
Yeah, I'm gonna sacrifice myself by like absorbing the like magic energy barrier around the ultimatum so that you can have it.
Breaks my heart that Minwoo dies. Makes me very sad. Loved Minwoo. Big Minwoo fan. Great character, such as there are characters in this game. Like, this is the franchise's first attempt at real characters, and I don't know why, but I loved Minwoo. Thought Minwoo was great. Yeah. You know, you never forget your first additional party member, and that was Minwoo. So when you leave, and now you've got Ultima, and you've been on this mission to go get Ultima, the second you come out, the world's been destroyed.
Yeah, things are bad. Things are worse. You remember can't go back to any of the places that you were before.
Yeah. All the monsters are even harder, right, than ever before. Like, the whole world map is filled with really dangerous creatures, and it's because a flipping cyclone has ravaged the world.
Yeah.
It's destroyed the entire world. That sucks.
Yeah, so Altair is gone, and like Poft and Palume are gone. All of the like initial towns that you were visiting and running back and forth between have been flattened by this cyclone that is now just like hanging out outside Castle Finn.
There's just so many ways in which this game is so clearly influential. Like, Square had a lot of ideas that they packed into this game that they could only like approach really lightly, and they're going to expand on a lot of this stuff in other games moving forward. I think like the cyclone and like the ravaged world is a great example. We'll get there someday into some of that stuff. But I just like, I keep like, I every like time I dug deeper into the game, I kept being like, wow, okay, you kind of done this before, but like but not really, because this is the first time you did it. So it's just like going back to like origin point stuff. It was really, really interesting for me.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, so like you go in and like Princess Hilda's like, yeah, they destroyed everything. And yeah, and the Emperor controls the cyclone. You're like, oh my God, really? Like,
excuse me, what? If you try to walk up to the cyclone, you will just get blown out of it at this point in time, because you have to have like special skills to enter the cyclone.
Yeah, the best thing is, in order to progress, you have to go and find the treasure hunter Paul, right?
Again, yeah.
Well, I don't think that you have to, but if you do and you go and you seek out Paul and you tell him, like, listen, we're not just going to, like, sit here and take this. Like, we're not just going to let this cyclone destroy us. We're going to go into the cyclone. Paul's like, y'all crazy, and I love it. Here's my stash. There is a monster stash as Paul opens up like his secret chamber and gives you like all of his goodies.
Like, yeah, and this is like the only time you can go get them.
Yeah. Yeah. If you try to like hoard this and hold on to it for the end of the game, you just miss, you snooze, you lose, apparently.
Yeah.
So go get your stuff. You get your stuff from Paul. You then, like, I forget exactly how this happens. Like, do you have to go back to Deist? Or there's, like, you have, like, the pendant of the Wyvern, and, like in the Castle of Finn, like, you're somehow connected to, like, that dragon egg that you threw down. The dragon is now going to show up and be like, I can take you to the cyclone.
Right. You have like the pendant, and you have to go to the mirror room that's like in the basement of the castle, or in the top of the castle, or wherever it is. And if you hold that pendant that you got in Castle Deist up to the mirror, then you like see the Wyvern being born. And the Wyvern egg from the Life Spring now comes to the castle.
Yeah.
And Ricard, the dragoon, is reunited. This is the last dragoon and the last Wyvern. But like now that means you can go to the cyclone, because the Wyvern will take you into the cyclone.
So now you're in this Wyvern dungeon, or the cyclone dungeon rather.
Because of course the cyclone is a dungeon.
Yeah, makes sense. I don't really see why this would
tunnel
be
of air is of course a dungeon,
and so it's more grindy dungeon gate. You have to go all the way through the dungeon, and you are like, this is going to be like the big showdown with the Emperor, right? The emperor who's holding it down here in the middle of this cyclone, who is, you know, like, you know, destroying the world. And mm-hmm. like, you have to roll up and you have to try and crush the emperor. And so was there any trick to fighting the emperor that comes to mind for you? He's got like a lot of like people that he like throws at you.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of dragons. There's these wood golems mm-hmm. that are like very, I think in this area, you get a lot of enemies that are very resistant to physical attacks, and you have to know like the right magic. To use yep. against them.
Teleport.
Which can make it, can make it challenging. To like, you got to make sure you have enough ethers to maintain enough magic to like do all these fights. Cause like, obviously your physical attacks are unlimited, but if you're doing single digits of damage on a thing that has over 1,000 HP, you're going to be here forever.
Yeah.
When you go to Paul, you get something called the Blood Sword, which is super rad. And is the one occasion where I wasn't like using the optimal equipping ability. Because the Blood Sword's attack is ostensibly much lower than a lot of other weapons that you have at this point, but the Blood Sword drains HP from the enemy to you. So I think it's actually like the best sword in the game in a lot of ways, because you are continually healing as you're attacking.
As you're killing. Yeah, that's pretty powerful. That's a little OP.
Yeah.
So unless
that character gets incapacitated, which does still happen for sure, or a monster is able to like fully knock them out right away, you have a pretty good chance of keeping that character very close to full health consistently, which is useful.
So you destroy the emperor, you destroy the cyclone, and once again, congratulations, you have beaten the game. But wait, there's more. A new enemy has emerged, and we will talk about that enemy after a quick word from our sponsors.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Okay, we're back. Yeah, the game continues, folks. Just because you killed the evil emperor, he really thought it was over? You fools!
Mm-hmm.
The Dark Knight, Leon, has crowned himself the new emperor. And this doesn't quite come out of nowhere, Zed. But right. At the same time, it is just like dropped so casually that Leon is the Dark Knight and is now in charge of everything.
Yeah, the only hint that we've had at Leon being the Dark Knight previously was when we hear his voice and Maria, Leon's sister, says that voice seems familiar. And if you're paying attention, that makes it very obvious. But if you're not, if you're clicking through the dialogue quickly or you're just not thinking about it too much, you could easily miss that. And then all of a sudden, it's like this guy who disappeared at the beginning of the game, who you never really knew anything about, is now like your number one enemy.
Yeah.
After you all theoretically like ran away from the assault on Finn together.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to say this without saying too much. Like I love the idea behind a character going away and then you rediscovering that character in a different context, but like there has to be some story behind it, and I just don't think that there's any story behind it with Leon being the Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. Feels very thin and just like sort of fabricated. which I get because of like the limitations of like the data they've got to. And I feel like they made like a really big game considering the limitations. So like it is an impressive thing. But I think like this story angle maybe like ends up being a big casualty of like trying to do a little too much. So like there's just, I don't know, like there's just, it really does just come out of nowhere that like your childhood friend who we have no real emotional connection to whatsoever because they haven't appeared elsewhere really in the game other than that very first scene is now suddenly the bad guy.
Right.
Just a lot.
Seemingly fairly quickly has become like the most powerful person in the Empire, despite being a kid who ran away from Finn, you know, not that long ago.
Yeah.
But then there's this rumor of the Dark Knight pretty quickly after that. So like, how did he become the Dark Knight? How did he then amass enough power to declare himself emperor after the emperor was defeated? Like theoretically, you know, the rebel army has defeated the empire and should be in power. They're in Castle Finn, which seemed to be the seat of power.
Yeah.
And now it's like this other guy over in this other place that nobody's ever heard of is like, no, I'm in charge.
It's my show now. Yeah, I wish that there was just a little bit more there, but there isn't. So you have to do some San Diego headcanoning, Zed. You know, like you have to like give some backstory into this to a certain degree. Apparently, Cid was gravely injured during the cyclone attack, and before he dies, his final request is to give you the airship, which you are going to use to infiltrate Palamecia. And it's kind of like, oh, well, thank you. I mean, I didn't really know you at all.
Yeah.
But okay.
Take my airship.
Take my airship.
To Palamecia.
Yeah. And so he dies, like
everyone
else.
Yeah, he's like, I want to lend you my airship. And then he dies, and cool. Paul is like, oh, no, you should just have it.
Yeah, just take that. Because you're going to need it in order to infiltrate the castle. The only way in is by air.
Yeah.
So you do like an aerial assault. You reach Palamecia, the heart of the Empire, I guess.
Apparently.
And you have to like fight like a few different versions of old enemies that you have fought in the game, including like a shadow emperor, right? Yeah. Like you have to
the
fight
imperial
that.
Shadow, yeah.
And then there's like, and the emperor like went to hell and came back, basically. The emperor, like when you kill the emperor, went to hell and like what, fought his way back? Is that it?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a screenshot that's the same as the one in the walkthrough, which is all the worlds shall fall by my hand and the powers I gained in hell.
In hell. Oh my God.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. Emperor went to hell and came back.
As you do. As one does. But you don't find this out until you reach Leon at like the heart of Palamecia. And Leon is disgusting. Leon's like, not even like trying to give you like a decent excuse that you could kind of buy as to why he's done this. He's just like, yeah, I think the strong have to rule the weak. You know, like I think like really tough people are the ones that are supposed to be in charge.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, gross. Cool. You're unrecognizable to me as a friend. You're not that anymore. He's like, yeah, what's the problem? Well, a lot of things are wrong with the things that you're expressing right now. but that being said, it's much worse to have to fight a literal demon emperor from hell. And so a literal demon emperor from hell shows up, and even Leon's like, all right, okay, I think we can maybe find some common purpose here. And like, I hate this part because Ricard, who is like kind of like been like fairly ride or die for the last several portions of the game and is the last dragoon, Ricard's like, you all should leave. And I'll stay behind and fight the emperor. And you're like, Ricard, we appreciate the offer. We've seen versions of this before all throughout the game. You're going to die.
Yeah, let us suggest that you just also leave.
And Ricard's like, no, because you're going to need the space in your party for Leon to join you. And so we need to come up with a reason for me to not be there. So I'll die now. I was like, all right, Ricard, it's your funeral, quite literally. And so he like decides to fight the hell emperor and dies So Ricard, rest in peace. Eulogy for Ricard. And I didn't ask a eulogy for Minwoo.
Yeah. Oh, Minwoo. We hardly knew ye. Except we knew Minwoo fairly well, I feel
we
like.
Did.
You know, he was there taking care of the king right up until his final moments. He came with us to heal us when we were young and weak. I think he might be the best, and maybe it's just because it's the earliest in the game. But he's like overpowered compared to your characters when he joins your party.
Yeah.
Whereas everybody else you have to level up their stats so much. So I like Minwoo a lot. He also looks really cool in his white robe and his white turban.
Yeah.
He's pretty badass. Ricard, I don't know. I expect like the last dragoon to be so awesome. And then he comes in with his 5 MP.
I know.
And it's like, oh man, Ricard, I need you to be able to do more than this.
It's the game's fault.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of the problems with the game is that like you can just like get so powerful and they don't scale your guests.
They should scale
your guests, especially when they're like remaking the game here for the Pixel remaster. Like,
right.
You're updating so much. Scale your guests.
So my hat.
Scale your guests. We really need that. Like they should be stronger.
Yeah. I mean, the hack that I went with was like, I taught him Cure and then I had him use like the weakest version of Cure over and over until his MP continued to increase and just did that a bunch more times. Because when you're only healing for, you know, like 20 HP on your characters that have 5,000 HP, you can use Cure a lot. And when your MP is that low, it will increase dramatically and rapidly. So that's what I did for a bit to get him at least a little bit of ability to do something.
Yeah.
Against all those enemies that don't care about physical attacks.
Yeah. Anyway, so you leave and like you have to go back to Hilda, and Hilda's like, all right, sweet, did you do it? And you're like, and she like before you finish the sentence, Hilda's like, okay, so clearly you didn't do it again. Great, cool, wonderful. Also, who's that? And you're like, no one. As she's like looking at Leon, who for whatever reason like had like his like Dark Knight helmet on and everything up to this point, but like now he's like, all right, if you know who I am, it was pretty hot under there.
Yeah.
So I'll take the helmet off and just hang out with you guys normally now. So Leon is like, this shit sucks, I'm out of here. And you're all like, hey, wait, come on. And Maria,
you kind of
like,
owe us, like, yeah, you should really help. We're after
friends,
all the trouble you caused.
You know, you're not going to like ride with us anymore, bro. Like, what's the deal? It's like, all right, for old time's sake.
Yeah. So then you kind of have like another heel turn from him here, where like he was conceivably our friend at the beginning of the game, and then he disappears and becomes the most powerful enemy. And then we get him away from the Hell Emperor, and so now he's going to be our friend again. Like,
yeah,
without really, like, we're sort of adding argument onto it.
Yes.
But it's really just a couple lines of dialogue of like, well, Leon, don't you want to fight with us? And he's like, yeah, okay, I guess.
Sure, fine. It's like Maria's the one. You're my brother. And I'm like, oh, I forgot. So Leon is your final bonus party member. It's time to go to Pandemonium, where once you go in there, you will be on the quest to, defeat the Emperor from Hell and beat the game.
Yes.
You can only access it via something called the Jade Passage, which is this pool, like this crater of water near Mizidia, that apparently takes you to Hell.
It looks like Medeal after it's been hit.
Yes.
This little like pool of water in the middle of the land that didn't used to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't used to be there, that has now appeared, I guess maybe because the Emperor
burst out of Hell
back
via Jade Passage.
Uh-huh. So this is the door of his tell.
Yeah. Who is Jade Passage? So here's the passage to Hell. This is like your last chance to do anything you haven't done in the game. If you want to beef up your peeps, if you want to go around and get like, you know, like spend all your money on stuff. You can get Excalibur. because
if you go back to Diced, mm-hmm.
Just like, thanks for showing us one last dragoon in Rickard. Like, I'm sorry that we let him die. And she's like, you let him what? No, they give you Excalibur. And then, yeah, like, kind of yada, yada, yada. You go through the Jade Passage, and then you reach Pandemonium, which is the Castle of Hell.
It looks so cool.
It does look awesome. Like, it's like, Zed, did you have, school photo day, did you have laser background options?
Yeah, of course.
Like the pink and like blue lasers, like that. Like that's the color palette.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's like hot pink, hot blue. It looks really cool. We haven't been, and maybe we should be, ranking final dungeons as we go, I think could be fun. I think like, I don't love the design of either of the two final dungeons that we've talked about via, through Final Fantasy I and Final Fantasy II. But I love like the visual design of the one in Final Fantasy II. What I don't know is like, what's a cooler idea, Zed? Pandemonium, the Castle of Hell, or the time traveling Chaos Temple?
Oh man. Yeah, it's tough.
I think ultimately I'm going to give it to Pandemonium.
Yeah. I think it's really rad. It's like super cool. It looks really beautiful. There's lots of like secret passages, which is neat. Especially if you employ, as I think I spoke about on the first podcast, use that tap mode and it'll find all the secret passageways for you.
Yep.
Let it do that. And then you fight your way through. I mean, the Jade Passage looks cool, too. Yeah. It's a little more like kind of tropical-y, but it does have all these like geodes and things and crystals sticking out as you're walking around. So it looks really pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Pandemonium is huge and awesome. I did make my way through here a second time to complete the bestiary on my... inevitable mission to get to 100%, which is really a curse.
Yeah.
It's such a chore. I wish I didn't care.
Stop doing it. Stop doing it. You've got other things to do.
Do I?
You do. Absolutely. You can do that. You can do I, but you do. 100%. Uh-huh. You've got things to do other than get 100% on Final Fantasy II Pixel Remastered.
It's deeply unimportant, and... I feel very accomplished when I... No, I don't feel that accomplished when I do it. But I feel very, like, annoyed when there's, like, when something lingering out there.
Yeah.
And on the... I think it's the sixth floor of Pandemonium is the only place you can encounter the Iron Giant in the whole game. And it's, like, a very rare random encounter, kind of like the war mech in the Floating first, Fortress or wherever in the first Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
But you gotta get it if you're gonna complete the bestiary to get all your achievements.
Yeah.
So I did that on a second time through.
I was like, at this point, the way that I read often is like I get to the end of the book and I just like power read through it and I like miss so many details because I'm like, I just want to be done. That's just how my brain works when I encounter like the end of a book. And like I found myself sort of in that mode here for the end of Final Fantasy II. So like I could see that there were treasure chests. I'm like, no.
I mean, you don't need them really.
No.
It's just like, for that completion, if that's a thing that you're doing.
Just like punching and teleporting everybody out of my way.
You don't need most of the treasure in this game, really.
Not really. Yeah.
Particularly because of the way that the stat leveling works, so much of the treasure is really pointless.
Yeah.
And they continue to put like stupid, like very early weapons and armor and things in like the very late dungeon chests just to be annoying.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're not cursed with completionistism like I am, you can skip most of the chests just about everywhere.
So you go in and you have to kill the Emperor from Hell. Final boss for me was not that bad. There is apparently a this does not exist in the Pixel Remaster, so you and I didn't play this. But there is a Final Fantasy II playable epilogue that was released in the 20th anniversary versions of Final Fantasy II. It's an epilogue called Soul of Rebirth that's available after you beat the original game. And apparently what it is, Zed, just from like the light reading that I have done, is you're playing as the characters that have died in the game.
Oh, cool.
In like sort of like an afterlife world to like stop the emperor from like that side of the plane of existence. So I think like you're playing I think like you have like a few of them. I think it's like it's Scott who's got like the Gordon stat block. You've got Joseph, you've got Ricard, and you've got Minwu, and that's your party. And so you're playing as them, which I think is pretty neat. I think it's a cool idea that like you have to like play as sort of like on the other side of the plane of existence. And like you're fighting as like the, you know, like the story is like this is like concurrent with like Firion and Maria and Guy and Leon going up against the Emperor. So that's pretty neat. I like that. I wish that we'd played that.
Yeah, that would be really cool of this, like the other side of the story happening. It's like the other 48 days happening at the same time. Yeah, I didn't have a
like
hard time.
Sideways Final Fantasy.
Right. I had a pretty easy time with this final battle, too, because of the blood sword. If you have that, that's it can hit for thousands of points of damage at once in a way that nothing else in the game can, even if you've leveled up your weapons decently.
Yeah.
So it only took a few rounds to like get rid of this guy, which like feels a little anticlimactic after you've like hiked through all these, you know, made your way all the way through the Jade Passage and then all the way through 10 floors of this dungeon. And there's like different parts of some of the floors where you have to go through one door that takes you upstairs and then come back and then go through a different door that takes you upstairs somewhere else. It's a long journey to the Hell Emperor. And then you hit him with the blood sword a few times and he's done. Like, somewhere in here, I can't remember if it's before or after this, you get to like see all of the people that have like died along the way. And you kind of get like it feels like you're getting sort of like a blessing or something.
Yeah.
From all your various friends.
Yeah. That's another thing that you'll see again. God, there's just so much that starts here.
Yeah.
It's so wild to me. Like everything I ever knew, it's like it's like Truman Show stuff. It's like, oh, there's a world outside of Final Fantasy IV.
There's more dancing back at the castle. Oh, we skipped over like after they take back the castle and they come back. Like,
oh, yeah.
Firion like dances with Hilda.
Party. Yeah. Yes.
So funny. And it goes on for like a while. It's like the equivalent of a cutscene of like these little pixel characters dancing. Yes. You just kind of have to wait for it to be done.
Amazing. Incredible. So yeah, you beat the game. And when you beat the game, you know, much yub-nubbing. We've saved the world. The Empire has fallen. But Leon is like, I'm going to leave now. And like, kind of just let him.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like so many questions around Leon and his motivations for like every single choice he makes in the game and how he ends up in the places that he does with his weird triangle body. He's the character I would be most curious to like learn more about. Him and Firion, because everybody seems to know who Firion is, even though he's just this random kid.
Yeah. They love Firion, though. He's like become like this folk hero.
Yeah.
World renowned superhero Firion with the
I was
awesome
sad we didn't
headgear.
Get to take we didn't get to take Layla with us on the final mission because she's been like real stand up gal.
I guess the only upside of that is she's not killed because everybody else died.
True.
So that's good.
She's the sole survivor of the side characters.
She makes it. That's good news. Leon goes away and we did it. We saved the day. Happy ending, Zed. Mm-hmm. That's Final Fantasy II in the books.
Yeah.
I like this game mostly.
I like the story of it. I mean, the dungeons are so annoying.
The dungeons suck. The dungeons really do suck, and so much of a video game is playing the video game.
It is that.
You know, like, you know, experiencing the story is like an excellent story for me can't trump like god awful mechanics, but could trump mediocre mechanics or even sometimes like bad mechanics, but like god awful mechanics, no. And so I do think in this case for me, like the story and sort of like the boldness of the ideas behind it, if not always the execution of the ideas, I was impressed by, to see that Square had some of the ambition that it had, that it clearly brings to bear on future games, that they had that here was really, really neat for me as a longtime fan of the franchise who's never played this game or really read much about it either. That was all really, really cool. And I think that that stuff for me worked more than like the dungeons didn't work. And for some people, like the leveling and the grindiness and like the battle stuff, it doesn't play well, but I actually really liked it. I was happy with all of that stuff. Those first 20 hours of the game, while I was just like listening to audiobooks and doing other stuff while just like destroying the world, really memorable and really, really fun. So like I'll always think fondly of playing this game because it felt like playing a classic Final Fantasy. It was playing a classic Final Fantasy for the first time with so much of it feeling very familiar because I had seen it done better in other games, but realizing the history of it was a really cool experience for me. Would recommend. Did you like this or Final Fantasy 1 more so far?
I think I liked it. This is like a weird thing to say. I think I liked this game better, but I'm probably less likely to replay it.
Yeah, sure.
Because while there's more story that's interesting, I think it's also more tedious.
Yeah.
Because there's just like so much grinding that you really have to do in order to make the game like workable without like a whole lot of dying and resetting. And then the dungeons are all, they just go on so long.
Yeah, they do.
I guess once you know that you can skip almost all of the doors, and if you use a walkthrough to know just which doors you have to go through, that helps a little bit. I definitely early on, as I was doing my best to not use a walkthrough, was like, well, I better check every door because I don't want to miss any treasure because I'm trying to get all of the treasure for the treasure trophy. And eventually I was like, yeah, all right, I'll get spoiled on some small things so that I don't have to go through every single door.
Sure. Yeah. I think that I felt like eventually in certain points, like I needed to do the same thing. Otherwise I was just going to lose my mind and it wasn't worth it. So like a pretty low grade on the dungeon design of this game. But like, you know, like middle to high grades on the other stuff. I would rank the final dungeon of 2 above the final dungeon of 1. And I do think for me, I would rank 2 over 1 personally. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that like it was maybe like 1. I can't even say that 1 beats it in terms of nostalgia because I just had like a different nostalgic experience playing this game and sort of like seeing like all of like the dots on the continuum that like connects this to the rest of the game.
That's interesting.
The franchise.
Yeah.
It was really cool. I'm like both like excited about this and like a little nervous about this, Zed, is that I think like I'm really curious to see how having played this game first colors your experiences with a couple of the games coming up. Because like I think that you will see certain things in certain games being like, I've seen this before. But will that take anything out of it for you as far as like processing the story of some of these games? Will it be additive to be like, oh, this is like how they're like expanding on things that they were like trying to like sort of like gesture at? I don't know. I'll be really interested to see. I think that at the very least, we're going to have, whether you want to call it a palate cleanser or not, in Final Fantasy III, that I think like the biggest thing that so far in my experience of playing it, and I've only played like, you know, however many hours of it, I think like the biggest thing is that it introduces a mechanic that you do see in some of the other games. I feel like from my experience so far, 3's biggest influence ends up being on Final Fantasy V, but we'll see the deeper we go into that one. But you may really enjoy it because it's like the original Final Fantasy in that like your characters don't have personality traits. you know, you're basically going to get to like have like to like kind of like choose your party makeup and stuff like that. And I don't know. We keep saying like, oh, we're only going to do one podcast and this, and then it turns into two podcasts. So we're only going to do two podcasts and this, it turns into three. Will the Final Fantasy III coverage be like a 7-part series?
Oh, no.
We're just going to take it as it comes. What we're guaranteeing is that we'll be back next week with some Final Fantasy III coverage. It's just a matter of like, is that the start of something, or are we just going to have like one big conversation about it and that's it?
Yeah.
But we'll find out. I'm excited. The conquest continues.
Mm-hmm. We're flying.
We're flying. We've inherited Dead Cid's airship.
Dead Cid. Yeah.
We've got Dead Cid's airship, and we're just ripping through the skies as mm-hmm. we are going through the full Final Fantasy.
He didn't even leave it to his dude.
He's like, yeah, his assistant. His assistant must be pissed.
Yeah, his poor guy who's like always sitting. Cid's just like sitting in this pub getting drunk 24/7. He's like, if you want to fly somewhere, you talk to that guy. And it's all like that guy's problem.
Yeah.
To like arrange all these flights and take care of the money and keep funding Cid's drinking habit.
Amazing.
I don't imagine that Cid's the one piloting the airship on these flights all over the place, operating out of Palum or Poft, whichever one it is.
Probably.
And then he dies, and what does his guy get? Not the airship.
Nada. Nothing. Squat. Diddly.
Cid.
It's great. It's classic.
Classic Cid. Classic being Cid. The worst.
Classic Cid. Loved the Cids. The Cids are great. All right. Brooklyn Zed is at Hard Rock Hope on these mean internet streets. Give him a follow. Zed, you're in the Final Fantasy Discord. People can hang out with you there for sure. Final Fantasy Discord, unaffiliated with the Post Show Recaps Patreon program. You can just go there for free. Just slide into my DMs and get that link to get into the Final Fantasy Discord. People can also come and join the Post Show Recaps patron Discord as well. If you sign up at patreon.com/postshowrecaps, sign up at the $5 level and you'll get access to the Post Show Recaps patron Discord campus filled with all sorts of awesome channels. You'll be able to hang out with everybody who's in there, including myself, Zed, so many other people. It's a really fun time. We want you to do it. And if that's a good taste and you want more, we've got a much bigger Discord server that you can access at that $10 level, and all sorts of additional bells and whistles you get for the $15 and $25 tiers, should you choose to explore those. Those are the obligatory shameless plugs, Zed.
Yeah, here in the, is it the first week of November now?
It's
is
the
this
first week
dropping,
of November, yeah. And we loved your costumes, by the way, people. We loved your Final Fantasy Halloween costumes. They were great. Y'all did such a good job, we assume, in the future.
Yeah. But as we always say, the beginning of the month is a great time to sign up, get the most bang for your buck, come hang out. If you forgot after last week when the pod dropped a couple days before November, or you got caught up in all your Halloween activities, it's the first week
still
of the
early.
Month. It's still early. It's a great time to come join us. Like, it's the most entertainment you're going to get for $5 or $10 a month. And I am putting that up against Netflix or any other streaming service you might choose to subscribe to. You get friends all the time.
Great. It's super interactive. Just choose to not rent one movie for the month and come find out. You know, like, put that $5 or $10 towards us instead of like that like junk food movie that you were gonna watch tonight,
and
see
then you can watch
just
it
how much entertainment
friends.
You get out of it. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think you'll regret it. I have not heard of anybody joining the Discord and being like, nope, this was a mistake. Get me out of here.
There's
but
some
if
people
that
who
happens,
like the Discord format
you know,
doesn't
okay.
work for, and that's like the thing. And if that ends up being you, that's totally fine. But in terms of like, if the format works for you, then by and large, the response has been like, oh my God, why wasn't I in here earlier?
Yeah,
so like,
very worth it.
It's we're talking $5, folks. Drop that fiver and come and join us. If you want to drop a tenner and see the full thing, then you're really going to be very happy. Mm-hmm. But we would love to have you in any capacity that you are down to join. In both of those scenarios, you get bonus podcasts as well. It's a really great deal. Obviously, we are biased, but we want you involved in the Patreon program. So consider signing up. patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Next week, it is either the beginning or the entirety of our Final Fantasy III coverage. I'm very eager to get to Final Fantasy IV, so my instincts right now are to go through this quick, but we'll see where the spirit takes Sid.
Yeah, we will. We'll jump on that wyvern and we'll fly into the cyclone and we'll see where we end up.
All right. On that note, signing off like a cyclone. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.